You're listening to RSJ Radio.
I'm Pascal DeVerlis.
And I'm Mitch Beaumile, and this is Are You Listening?
In today's news, Prime Minister-designate Justin Trudeau meets with Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne.
A Dutch man will not face charges in the death of Amanda Todd.
As well, Ryerson is getting a royal visit from Prince Edward.
And now, the details.
Justin Trudeau met with Kathleen Wynne at Queen's Park this morning to discuss a variety of issues. Transit, legalization of marijuana, and climate change were some of the topics of discussion between the newly elected Prime Minister-designate and the Ontario Premier.
The province hopes for federal assistance with its plan to enhance public transit and infrastructure. In addition, Wynne wants Ottawa to increase funding to the Canadian pension plan so that Ontario won't have to implement a provincial pension of their own.
The meeting between the two Liberal leaders is in stark contrast to Wynne's relationship with Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who previously ignored interview requests from the Premier for more than a year.
Trudeau and Wynne are also attending the funeral of former Canadian ambassador to Iran, Ken Taylor.
Taylor served as ambassador from 1977 to 1980 under Trudeau's father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, and is often remembered for his critical role in helping six American hostages escape from Iran in 1979.
He passed away in New York earlier this month. He was 81.
Our own Joshua Promeski is at the Timothy Eaton Memorial Church where the funeral just began.
What's happening, Josh?
The funeral's going well. A bunch of people came out to pay their respects to Ken Taylor. And it's a very positive atmosphere. People want to remember him for everything, you know, that he did for the country rather than focus on the negative. And it's a very nice place to be right now.
Do you have any idea how many people are there at the funeral?
If I had to put a number on it, I would say probably between 200 and 300. It's a combination of family, friends, and colleagues from over the years.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any short stories to share?
I believe it was Malcolm McKechnie that offered some insight into the type of person that Ken was. We hear a lot about his public life, and just a little bit of insight into who the person actually is was really cool. Basically, after Ken helped the six American hostages get out of Iran, he had to flee to Paris, and Canadian intelligence services briefed him on, don't talk to the media, don't say anything to them. And the first thing he did when he got outside was held a 30-minute, impromptu press conference because he thought the people deserved to know. And that's just the type of person he was. He's very bold.
Congressional leaders in the White House came to an agreement yesterday about the U.S. budget averting a government shutdown.
It seems as though the public are not the only ones. Irritated at the idea of a shutdown, Paul Ryan, House Speaker, expressed his frustration this morning.
We are up against a deadline. That's unfortunate. But going forward, we can't do the people's business. As a conference, we should have been meeting months ago to discuss these things to have a unified strategy going forward.
The Republicans didn't want to raise the debit limit without the things to offset it, with the Democrats were hesitant to cut certain budgets. So it seemed as though the routine threats of government shutdown were on the horizon.
The deal appears as though it will raise domestic and defense spending caps, and we can expect to see a change in Medicare and Social Security.
It is not a done deal yet, and all raises in spending are to be considered temporary, but the vote may be cast as early as tomorrow.
Ryerson got royal today.
Queen Elizabeth's son, Prince Edward, was present on campus with Lieutenant Governor Elizabeth Dalzell.
The two toured the Think to Think 3D Printing Research Lab at the university and visited the DMZ.
There, the pair met up with the founders of several startup companies. They viewed demonstrations of new technologies before participating in a roundtable discussion with young entrepreneurs.
Prince Edward's 37th visit to Canada is focused on youth entrepreneurship and fostering a culture of innovation.
Emotions were high last night as Adam Cahan, Vice President of University Advancement at Ryerson, said his farewell to the Ryerson community.
A gathering was held at the Mattamy Athletic Center to announce Cahan's retirement and acknowledge his contributions to the university.
Olivia Chiarello spoke to him about his retirement.
For Adam Cahan, last night's farewell ceremony was an overwhelming experience. The Ryerson community gathered to say thank you for the positive impact he has made after his 12 years as vice president.
It was a lovely party and very meaningful, and I was very thankful to the organizing group that put it together because it was very meaningful for me and for my family. But also, as I say, it was just a wonderful opportunity to get together again with people that I'd worked with here over all these 12 years.
Cahan has become a vital part in the growth of Ryerson over the past years. he has put together several projects that have helped Ryerson build a strong presence and reputation in Toronto. Kahan believes that the university is moving in the right direction and will continue to build a positive reputation.
I think what we thought about this very strategically at the beginning about how do we build our presence, our reputation, our connection, our communications, our marketing. I think it's on the right path. I think the city, the folks in the city get rising in a very, very meaningful way today.
Kahan admits that stepping down from his position will not be easy for him.
It's very difficult. This has been the most meaningful and enjoyable part of my career, for sure. The university is an incredible place. It's been just amazing to be part of something that has gone through such a metamorphosis in such a positive way. But, with all things in life, there comes a time when change is good, and it's the right time to change.
Kahan will officially retire from his position on December 10th. I'm Olivia Ciarello from Are You Listening?
Thank you, Olivia. John Tory has reaffirmed his commitment to his Smart Track transit plan in a CBC Metro Morning interview. The Toronto mayor says that the $8 billion transit plan, which will add 53 kilometers of track along existing lines, will prevail. Tory says that the studies of Smart Track, which are currently underway, will help determine the project's shape in the future. Currently, Toronto's Yonge University Spadina line operates at capacity.
John Tory got a little bit of bad news for his one-year anniversary as mayor of Toronto today. Figures released by Statistics Canada say the number of company headquarters in the GTA is declining. In 2012, there were 726 companies in the Toronto area, including Mississauga, Oakville, and other smaller towns. But by 2013, that number had dropped to 702. The numbers come at an inopportune time as Tory attempts to woo HSBC Bank to move its headquarters from Britain to Toronto.
Roots is selling the majority of its stock to a private equity firm as a new wave of retail competition hits Canada. The prominent clothing chain, known for its classic beaver logo and various sports sponsorships, will now be owned by Searchlight Capital Partners. The unspecified investment by the firm, which has offices in Toronto, New York, and London, will be used to start the company's next phase of growth. Owners Michael Budman and Don Green will maintain a smaller stake in the company. In recent years, premium retail outlets like Roots have had to compete with the increased popularity of discount fashion retailers such as H&M, Zara, and Forever 21. Roots operates 245 retail stores across Canada, the United States, and Asia.
Canadians can still wave hello to the mailman. The development of community mailboxes has been suspended temporarily. It is one of the Liberal government's promises, as Prime Minister-designate Justin Trudeau said during his campaign.
We work to restore mail service to Canadians who expect it to be a proper service from their government.
Though it is good news for many Canadians, the suspension came a little too late, according to the president of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, Mike Palasek.
It's unfortunate that it took them until today to do it, because tens of thousands of people in communities across this country lost their door-to-door delivery today.
The community mailboxes that have already been installed will stay. The suspension will start on November 1st.
An old case against former police chief Julian Fatino had its first appearance in court today. Here's Bailey Vickers with the story.
Most people like ketchup on their fries, not down their pants. John Benici, now 62, has pressed assault charges against Fantino. 42 years ago, during a police raid, Fantino allegedly poured ketchup down Benici's pants and spread the condiment with a baton. Although charges have been laid, Fantino's lawyer, Mark Sandler, says there is not enough evidence at this moment for court to proceed.
The Crown now has control of the case. What that means is the Crown has to decide at this stage whether or not there's a reasonable prospect of conviction and whether it's in the public interest to proceed against Mr. Fantino. That determination has not yet been made by the Crown, and accordingly the case was adjourned to December the 8th to give the Crown time to accumulate what evidence there is in connection with the matter and make those decisions.
Following 40 years as a police chief, Fantino was elected into the House of Commons in 2010 and re-elected in 2011. However, he was recently defeated as a Conservative MP in the past election. Sandler says that since the charges were privately laid 42 years following the alleged assault, in a crucial time for Fantino's campaign, it is definitely a factor when looking at the case.
I don't regard it as coincidental that 42 years after the alleged events and during an election, this private complaint was made.
The Crown has not yet decided to proceed. Court will resume on December 8th at 9 a.m. I'm Bailey Vickers for Are You Listening?
A man in the Netherlands will not face any criminal charges in the case of Amanda Todd. Aiden Coban was under suspicion of distributing child pornography. Amanda Todd was a 15-year-old from British Columbia. She committed suicide in October 2012 after receiving blackmail threats online from Coban. Coban is still waiting trial for charges in his home country for 9 offenses, including indecent assault and production and dissemination of child pornography.
The trial of Constable James Forcello, charged in the death of 18-year-old Sammy Yateem, is hearing from the empty streetcar driver today. Driver Chad Seymour was the last person to speak to Sammy Yateem before he died in the confrontation with Forcello. Seymour said he was frightened in the moments before the police arrived to the scene. Yateem died in July 2013. He was standing on a streetcar holding a small knife and refused to drop it. He was shot 9 times after a 50-second confrontation with Forcello. The jury watched videos and heard audio of the confrontation that ended his life. They also heard that Yateem took ecstasy before taking the streetcar.
The waves near Tofino, British Columbia brought tragedy ashore on Sunday. An Australian man is still missing after a whale-watching ship capsized, according to the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. 5 British nationals were killed and 21 out of 27 passengers were rescued. Jamie Bray, owner of the whaling station, says that the community is shaken.
I think the whole community has experienced the same emotions. I'm absolutely amazed at the support we've experienced in the last 24 hours.
One of the first responders to the accident said a survivor reported a sudden wave caused the capsize.
In international news, U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter said today the Obama administration is preparing to speed up its military campaign against the Islamic State and will launch more and heavier airstrikes. Carter announced the attacks will be mainly focused on the Islamic State-declared capital, Raqqa, in Syria, and the city of Ramadi in western Iraq. He said there would be more strikes against its oil enterprise, which is the pillar of the financial structure. Carter said the U.S. would be willing to support the Syrian and Iraqi forces fighting against the Islamic State.
Police in Turkey used tear gas to disperse hundreds of protesters today. Citizens were protesting the government's move to seize control of a company that owns opposition TV stations linked to a government critic. The government claims the company is financially linked to U.S.-based Turkish preacher Fethullah Gulen. Gulen is currently leading a movement which the government believes is attempting to destabilize the state.
You won't just find the Rockies in British Columbia anymore. On Tuesday, TransCanada said they've received approval for the construction of a $5 billion pipeline that will connect northeastern British Columbia's natural gas fields to the west coast. The 900-kilometer pipeline is waiting for federal environmental permits to build a Pacific Northwest liquefied natural gas facility. Until then, a construction won't start. The approval passes 70 conditions related to First Nations, the environment, and engineering.
A South Carolina officer is under investigation after video of him went viral using excessive force on a student surfaced. The video shows Deputy Sheriff Ben Fields, who is stationed in a high school, flipping over a desk while a black female student is still in it, dragging her several feet, and then arresting her. In a report done by the U.S. Department of Education, there have been at least 29 incidents since 2010 in which school-stationed police officers have used excessive force against students in elementary and high schools, many of which resulted in serious injuries and, in one case, death.
South Carolina officer Mark Tiller won't face state criminal charges for fatally shooting 19-year-old Zachary Hammond in July. But the U.S. Department of Justice is also investigating and will decide whether to bring federal charges against Tiller. Tiller said through his lawyer what he thought the teen was threatening to run him over and fired to protect himself. A private autopsy showed that Hammond was shot in the back and in the side, proving the threat had already passed.
Wrapping up our news sections, Trudeau and Wynne meet, Prince Edward visits Ryerson, and Julian Fantino awaits trial. Next up, we have current affairs. Stay tuned.
Now in current affairs, Scotiabank has pulled out as Buskerfest's biggest sponsor. Comedian Rick Gervais will be hosting the Golden Globes Awards. Toronto Mayor John Tory declared today Blue Jays Appreciation Day. And the World Health Organization says that bacon could cause cancer.
Today in the world of business, Tim Horton's new menu has profits looking up. After a year's scandal, Fiat Chrysler's safety chief is retiring, and low oil prices are causing more cuts for BP Oil. Here's business producer Sarah Jackson with those stories and more.
North America's biggest busker festival takes a major hit after losing one of its main sponsors. Tay Guamoyo has the story.
Toronto Buskerfest is trying to survive after losing sponsorship from Scotiabank, who recently withdrew its sponsorship from the event. Buskerfest has been taking over the streets of Toronto for the last 15 years thanks to sponsors that they receive. The festival costs $650,000 to run, however, it gives $250,000 to charity, Epilepsy Toronto. Busker Festival is a not-for-profit and depends heavily on sponsorships to help bring revenue. Epilepsy Toronto Director of Development Brandon Fairley says losing Scotiabank as a partner is a major setback.
Scotiabank has been a supporter of Busker Fest from day one, so they've been supporting us in multiple ways, including financially. They have changed their strategy in the past year, and they've moved funding towards different ventures. So.
Since losing Scotiabank as a sponsor, Busker Festival organizers have been looking for replacements but have yet to find one. Although they are hopeful to find a replacement and continue hosting Busker Festival, Fairley understands that if they are not able to come up with sponsorship, they may not be able to run next summer.
So funds can't be procured by that time. We will have to consider all options.
There is still a long time until the next Busker Fest, however, the pressure is on for organizers to find a new sponsor that will be able to help fund the event. For Are You Listening, I'm Taguamoyo.
In other business news, a new menu and lower costs have helped Tim Horton's quarterly profit soar. Tim Horton's new breakfast item and lunch wraps, and of course, the ever-popular drinks, led its sales to increase over 5% in the third quarter. Burger King bought Tim Horton's last year to create Restaurant Brands International. The restaurant brand stock closed last night at more than 10% this year. Fiat Chrysler's safety chair is stepping down on November 30th. Scott Kunstelman is retiring after a year of trouble with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The government regulators fined Fiat Chrysler $105 million in July for disobeying recall laws for 11 million vehicles. They are also under investigation for not reporting vehicle-related deaths and injuries, which is the law. Kunstelman has been with the company for 30 years. BP is making more cuts as low oil prices cause a third quarter profit slump. The British oil company sold nearly $50 million in U.S. assets after the 2010 Gulf of Mexico spill and is planning a $3 to $5 million more in 2016. Cuts by oil companies in the last year to compensate for low oil prices have caused thousands of job losses. Despite this, BP had a better than expected third quarter. That's all for business. I'm Sarah Jackson from Are You Listening?
Thank you, Sarah. In arts and entertainment, Toronto's Loving Theatre, Kinky Boots, gets extended due to popular demand, and fans anticipate the premiere of Sherlock Holmes. As well, the Golden Globes announce a host, and Ryerson opens the stage for poets. Here's Iva Selebik with the details.
British star Ricky Gervais is back to host the 73rd annual Golden Globe Awards in 2016. Gervais previously hosted from 2010 to 2012, being replaced by comedic duo Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. He promised never to return as host, but show executives were able to persuade him otherwise, with such popular demand. Notorious for his viral impression and off-the-cuff wit, Gervais will proceed to disarm the A-list audience once again on January 10th. The vibrant musical, Kinky Boots, opened at the Royal Alexandra Theatre 5 months ago and still is going strong. Here's Amanda Gilmore with the story.
It's the song every Toronto audience member can't get out of their head. And the feeling's mutual because Kinky Boots can't walk away from Toronto. The musical has been extended for a third time since the opening in June. Since its opening, the actors have played to a packed house every night. The play tells the story of a drag queen who works with a shoemaker to make high heel boots anyone can wear. theater critic Carla Mega from the Torontoist blog believes it's because the people in this city.
It opened at a time that where there was a lot of celebration going on, pride festivities going on in Toronto, and I think Canadians, and especially Torontonians, were feeling pretty proud of the culture that we had here in the city, and it kind of matches up really well with the message of Kinky Boots.
The musical has been extended until January 3rd. Then the boots are going to be put on a shelf and the curtain will come down. But as for now, audiences are leaving the Royal Alexandra Theatre, clicking their heels and singing.
Meanwhile, at the Ed Mirvish Theatre, Sherlock Holmes premieres tonight. The adaptation by Canadian playwright Greg Kramer originally premiered in Montreal in 2013, selling out and winning 5 prestigious Montreal English Theatre Awards. With a rousing addition of David Arquette as Sherlock Holmes, the contemporary tale has taken a commercial twist, integrating current events and political culture. The show will run until November 8th. And for the Ryerson artists who are craving the spotlight themselves, head over to Room 207 tonight in Eric Palin Hall for a spoken word slam, hosted by the Poetic Exchange student group. Open mic begins at 6:30 with a heated slam commencing at 7. Come with your words and an appetite. There will be pizza. I'm Eva Selbick.
And I'm Amanda Gilmore.
For Are You Listening?
Cancer causing bacon, whale poop fertilization, and studies showing rising temperatures and a possible cause of autism. Here's Michael Stolarczyk with Health and Science.
Yesterday, the World Health Organization announced bacon causes cancer, but not everyone is so convinced that their staple breakfast can kill them. Alexandra Pankratz brings you the story.
The report from the WHO says that bacon may lead to cancer. According to the WHO, bacon and processed meats rank alongside cigarettes as a cause of cancer. The report experts concluded that each 50-gram portion of processed meat consumed daily increased the risk of colorectal cancer by 18%. Norman Boyd, a professor of nutritional sciences at the University of Toronto, disagrees with the report because, in his opinion, it leaves out a major factor.
Well, it leaves out a very important fact, and that is time. I mean, clearly, if you sit down and eat 2 slices of bacon on a Saturday morning, let's say, your risk of cancer is not going to be changed at all. So you have to do it over a period of time. And it's not clear to me what time they're talking about. It may well be a lifetime.
Boyd also mentioned that, like most things in life, bacon is not harmful if eaten in moderation.
The current guidelines, the Canada guidelines, suggest that you shouldn't have these things more than a few times a week. Like most things in diet, moderation in the intake of red meat and processed meat seems to have probable health benefits.
Andre Picard, a health reporter from the Globe and Mail, published an article yesterday titled, "Go Ahead, Have That BLT for Lunch." He argued that this report will soon be forgotten by the public. Picard also believes that parents should not be concerned about feeding their children the century-old comfort food.
You know, I think parents should want to feed their kids a healthy diet, but, you know, everything has to be a possible diet. I think that's ultimately what we have to do is get people eating the best way they can. So I think if people are eating meat, then they should be careful about what kind of meat they eat, try and minimize processed meats. But, you know, you can't realistically expect everyone to be a vegetarian and eat perfectly. That's not going to happen. So it's all about harm reduction and getting people to do the healthiest thing that's possible in their lives.
Never fear, everyone. Your eggs won't be lonely at the breakfast table. In Toronto, Alexandra Pankratz, Are You Listening?
Thanks, Alexandra. Forget frying an egg on the hood of your car. One day you may be able to cook an entire breakfast. According to a study, if carbon dioxide levels continue to rise at the same pace, the Persian Gulf may see this happen. Adding humidity, temperatures in cities such as Abu Dhabi and Dubai will reach 77 degrees Celsius. But temperatures are not the only thing that is changing. A study has found that whale poop and the waste of other water mammals keeps the Earth fertile. By traveling long distances, whales exchange nutrients between different waters, phosphorus and nitrogen, hitchhike inside the whale. These essential nutrients then travel from concentrated areas to other parts of the ocean. A York University professor has found that certain chemicals may cause babies to be born with autism. The risk is low, but chemicals found in PVC flooring and certain makeup products has been linked to the disorder. She isn't sure how much exposure is needed to cause the effect, only that it is possible. That's all for Health and Science. I'm Michael Stolarczyk. Are you listening?
Thank you, Michael. In sports, we have a Toronto FC fan rally today. The Maple Leafs are recovering from their loss last night, and Toronto basketball fans have more to look forward to with the NBA season opening tomorrow. Here's Odelia Law with the details.
Mayor John Tory declared today to be the Blue Jays Appreciation Day. Fans can tweet about their favorite moments of the season with hashtag ComeTogether and wear blue and white to show support to the Jays. But the Jays head office is undergoing some major changes with the new president and potentially a new general manager. Current general manager Alex Anthopoulos talked to the press on Monday about the team's end of season and his contract. Mac Rogers has more.
The Blue Jays have finished their playoff season, but their postseason is just beginning. Anthopoulos did a lot of chirping yesterday at his postseason press conference. Reporters tried to sneak in questions about whether his GM contract was going to be renewed. But Anthopoulos was more interested in talking about his players' contracts than his own. Despite this, he did make a few comments on the state of his job.
No, we continue to do the job the way I always have. Continue to plan the way we always have. I've had meetings. I've started going through free agency, trades. That continues.
Anthopoulos' contract decision will be announced on October 31st. The Jays have many other contracts to sort out this offseason, especially free agent David Price's. This has been Meg Rogers reporting for Are You Listening Sports.
In other sports news, a fan rally for the Toronto FC is going on at the First Canadian Place on King and Bay now. The team's general manager as well as some alumni players will be there. After their 2-1 loss to Montreal Impact on Sunday, the team will face their rival again on Thursday night for their first ever playoff game. The winner of the match will enter the semi-final. Meanwhile, the Toronto Maple Leafs lost to the Arizona Coyotes Monday night. The Leafs failed to keep up with their visitors in the first period with Coyotes Shane Doan and rookie Max Domi scoring 2 power play goals. The Coyotes backed 2 more goals in the next 2 periods, and the Leafs managed to pull the score to within 1 in the third period. James Van Riemsdyk, Morgan Riley, and Sean Mathias scored the goals. After a near month-long wait for the basketball season, the Toronto Raptors are opening the new season this Wednesday with a new logo and new uniforms, including a black and gold alternate uniform. Coach Dwayne Casey says the team will focus on defense this season. The team's forward and season opener, Demare Carroll, believes the week-long training camp for the Raptors is going to pay off. The NBA season starts with 3 games tonight, then get down to business with 14 games Wednesday night. This is Odelia Law from Are You Listening?
And that's it for today's program. For Are You Listening, I'm Mitch Beaumile.
And I'm Pascal DeVerlis. Have a good night, Ryerson.